He wasn't being mean, by the way. He was just
no,
like being nice.
I know he wasn't being mean.
Yeah.
I was just like, we're going to destroy
like,
you.
Are you challenging him?
Challenge accepted. Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl,
where we have been challenged. So we are going to be brief this episode to prove someone wrong.
I'm Karen of Midnight in Dallas.
And I am Mandy of the Tanrian Wilds.
Okay, we're gonna move on this one.
We're jumping right in.
Yep. All right. In our timeline, it is September 1st, but in your timeline, it is September 9th. I can't believe it's September.
I know, it freaks me out. I'm so stressed about it.
Same, same. All right. This week in fangirling, we're really rolling.
We are. This is like insane. I'm gonna get a nosebleed. What did you do this week?
So I read, well, I guess it's been 4 days, but I have read two books, and I just started an arc, which is called Long Way Home. It's the third in the series, hence why I read two books before it.
The other two.
Yeah. They're technically, I think you could kind of count them as standalone, but I think they are better if you read all of them.
Yeah.
So the series is called Midnight in Dallas, which is actually the name of a band in this series, and it's by indie author Melissa Grace, and they're romance novels, and the first one is called Home is Where You Are. It follows Jax and Liv, and the second one, so it follows different members of this, like, found family group. It's very cute.
I love found family.
I love a good found family. And then the second book follows Liv's best friend, what is her name? Ella. And the band's manager, Cash. So the story and the like whole overarching thing, it follows this band called Midnight in Dallas. There's four members, Jax, Dallas, Derek, and Luca. And Liv and Ella go to one of their concerts where they have a meet and greet with Ella's daughter, Grace. And Jax sees Liv and she sees him, and they are like instantly attracted to each other. But then they like, during this meet and greet, they all bond and stuff, and so they just like become friends. Like it's this whole like really quick like found family friend group.
Aww.
And they're very cute, very cute. And then Cash is their manager, so he's part of this group. And then there's another character, his name is Anthony, and he is like a freaking queen. I love him.
Yeah.
He is so funny. And he like super blunt, amazing, tells it like it is. And it's just really cute. Like, it's this cute story of this found family, and they all are just going through stuff and then finding their way back to each other, and people are clearly pairing off, and I'm just like, so the first book was Jax and Liv, which kind of started it all. The second book is Cash and Ella, who are both widower, and they have to kind of like get over, I mean, not get over, but like they have to move on, and they're
right.
kind of learning from each other, and it's very cute. And then I was convinced, I don't typically read synopses before I read books because that's just who I am. And so I was convinced the third book was going to be Dallas and Katie.
Yeah.
And Katie is an employee of Liv and Ella's, but also like really good friends. So she's part of this found family group. Mm-hmm. And they very much have chemistry. And I was convinced it was going to be Dallas and Katie. And then I looked at the cover of the third book and I was like, that's Derek. That's
not. Oh no.
And it was like this girl that we had never met. And so I'm like, what's happening? Well, turns out this girl is actually Katie's best friend who comes back from out of town. So she's definitely joining this fan family. I'm sure of it. But I really like it. It's a cute, quick read. I read both books in less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
And so it's really cute. It is a romance novel, or they are romance novels, but they're not as spicy as like other romance novels I've read.
Yeah.
Like there's like one like sex scene per book, and I'm just like, okay, I expect more sex in romance novels.
I mean, that's, I feel like that's how the Love Hypothesis was.
Is, I don't know, I haven't read the Love Hypothesis,
but I think like, there was one.
I don't know, but generally, at least what I've read, there have been multiple sex scenes.
Yeah.
And in these, there are like one each, and I'm just like, I mean, they're still good, but I'm just like, I was expecting more sex.
I
So I haven't finished the third book, but I will probably finish it tonight,
want
because I want to know what happens. Derek is my favorite character of like the whole series, so I was very excited.
more.
But yeah, that is what I read, and then I watched. We talked about it like a while back on the podcast, but I finally watched the Baymax shorts.
Oh, yeah.
And oh my God, they are amazing. All kids should watch it. All people should watch it. It's just so much about like helping your fellow man and talking through like crises. Like one woman has like she's like got trauma because she like lost her husband, and so she can't go back to like where he used to go and stuff. And there's a girl who like starts her period for the first time, and she's like freaking out. And like there's this really good line, and I wish I had written it down because Baymax says something. It's like, I think it's something like, you're changing, but or your body's changing, but that doesn't mean that you change, or something like that. And I'm just like, it's really good. It's really cute. And it was really quick to watch, like less than an hour for all of the episodes. So if you have the time, I recommend it.
It's like the Olaf shorts too. My niece loves those, but those are just retelling. They're just retellings with Olaf telling
Very
them.
comedic
Olaf
retellings.
and Sven.
Oh my God, I love it. But yeah, they're really cute. So that is, I believe, all I did this week. What did you do?
Josh and I caught up and finished season three of Evil. Again, I always want to give this disclaimer when I talk about Evil. It can border very, very much on sacrilege in a lot of ways. So if that is something that is triggering to you, it's not going to be the show for you. But oh, it was so good. It's got, and I could never tell you his name, but the guy who plays Benjamin Linus on Lost is like the most brilliant actor for evil and like for a bad person that there is. He just does it so well that every time I see his face from this and from Lost, I'm just like, whoo, like I get the heebie-jeebies. Just, and so there's like it's not, I don't even know that it's a twist in the very last few seconds, but it is like a shock where like my jaw dropped, like, oh, they're gonna leave us like this. It has been renewed for a fourth season, thank God, because I would not have survived. I would not have survived it stopping where it is. And like literally the last few words, he's like looking at the camera, but you know it's the character that he's looking at. And he says something that is so unnerving. And I can't say it because it spoils it, but oh my God. Like you, Karen, you know that I don't stay up late on work nights.
No.
We were up till like 1 in the morning every, like for the past 2 or 3 nights, like watching
Oh
to
my
catch up.
God.
I know, but I was so hooked.
This is shocking.
I know. I paid for it at like waking up the next day. So we did that. And then I read, it was an arc through NetGalley, but the book is out now. The Undertaking of Heart and Mercy. And it was so good. It like, I know a lot of people like it. So it's not that it's just good because I can relate to it, but I wrote about it more on our blog when I did my spoiler-free review, but it is about, it's like a different world than ours. There are people, but there are also like all of the mail carriers are like, they're called Nimkalim, and they're like, one's a rabbit that's human-sized and talks and wears clothes. And it's like an ostrich that, and an owl. So it's different. They don't really like, she doesn't really explain what the world looks like. So it's almost like you have to just picture it yourself, which was fine. But you have Hart Ralston, who's a marshal, and he has to like protect the area, the island that they live on, from this like other realm called Tanria. And in Tanria, there are these creatures. I kind of equate them to zombies. They're called drudges, and they are the reanimated corpses of people who have died. So basically, souls don't have anywhere to go. Something happened and you don't really know what. And so the soul, every time a person dies and their soul leaves their body, they're just floating and they're lost. People can't see them, but they're there. The human soul resides in the appendix. So once someone dies, you immediately have to cut their appendix or like destroy their appendix, or they could be like a lost soul could clamp in and take over them. They become a zombie. And they will like attack. They're not like poisonous or anything, but they will like attack you and kill you. And then you become one because the lost soul gets you. So Hart has to go out and like, if he finds a drudge, he has to kill it, destroy the appendix, blah, blah, blah. Well, then you have Mercy Birdsall, who is an undertaker. And so you have to buy a death key, and you basically have to buy your funeral package to live in any town. So, and you have to wear a key around your neck that tells the funeral homes which one you need to go to, which undertaker you've bought a package with, what you want, etc. And anybody who doesn't have one, there's like a government mandate that's like for indigents. You can take them to anywhere, and the government will pay the fees for the undertakers. Hart and Mercy, from like the first time they laid eyes on each other, they hated each other. And so, like, yeah, hers is always the most convenient place to get to, but he goes to her because she has a dog and he has lost the dog. And so he loves her dog. So he'll go and like pet her dog and then have to like fight with her. This book is a love letter to dog lovers. I will say that. Like, and if you're like, when you read it, if you're a dog person, you'll get it. You'll be like, yeah, this was written for dog people too. So it's a little bit of like enemies to lovers, hate to lovers. But my like nostalgia with it is that when I was a child, my dad owned a removal and transport service. So like if someone died here in Georgia, but they wanted to be buried in Louisiana, first we had a van, then we got a hearse. For real, my dad bought a hearse, but in the van, like we'd put them in the van and we would drive them. Or if someone, like sometimes the remains are flown on airplanes, we would take sometimes it's a cardboard box, we would take the box to the airport. If somebody needed to be transported within a reasonable drive, we would do it. And my sister and I would go with him a lot. So there were years of my life where I was playing Barbies on people's caskets, like driving them somewhere, or like we'd get somewhere and it'd be 3 in the morning and we've pulled up to a funeral home. And so my sister and I have energy at this point. We're children. So we'd be playing tag and hide and seek in like these pitch dark funeral homes. And it was the weirdest childhood. And then sometimes you'd get off the bus and there would be like a stretcher with a sheet over it in like our cooled garage because my dad didn't want to leave. Like you'd be respectful. You don't want to leave somebody in a hot car while I'm going to jump in the shower before we hit the road, or I'm going to grab some snacks before we go. So he'd taken them out and put them in the air, but it would be nothing to be like, oh, who's that? And walk inside. And when I was, he was a sheriff's deputy. So when I was in middle school, we literally had a cop car and a hearse in the driveway. And there was a boy who lived down the street that like we flirted so much, but he was terrified of my dad. So like, I know that whole year, the whole time we had a hearse, I didn't get a boyfriend. So for
Listen, middle
me,
school is too young to have a
yeah,
boyfriend, anyways,
that's
Mandy.
fair. That's very true. At the time, though, I did
Yeah,
not think
no. I
that.
totally understand. But as adults, we
Yeah,
now
now I'm
know.
like, you don't need a
Hell
boyfriend.
no.
So for me, reading about Mercy, who she was raised by her dad, her mother died when they were young. She was raised by her dad in the family business of tending to people after they've passed. And so it was so nostalgic for me because it was like, okay, this is my life. This is experiences that I've had. And it's funny because I'm married to a ghost hunter. I'm terrified of ghosts. I am not afraid of a body at all. Like I was fortunate and honored and blessed that my family, when my mother-in-law passed, asked me to do her makeup. And it was like an honor. It was a privilege to be able to do that for her. And I wasn't afraid. It wasn't like she's not there anymore, but this was the vessel that served her well for almost 70 years of her life. Like you respect it, you honor it, whatever. And so, yeah, I saw myself in her a lot because while I'm too squeamish to like embalm someone or like, anything like any of the,
The
inside
actual,
stuff. I don't want to see any blood, but like I always have joked since I was a kid that if the world just goes to just haywire and there's not traditional jobs like we have now, I could be the person who does hair and makeup and dresses the body for burial because people are always going to die. So I would have a career field that wouldn't freak me out, that would freak a lot of people out.
That's true.
So that was a very, very enjoyable read for me because it was so nostalgic, and the dogs and the enemies to lovers and Grumpy Sunshine. And Duckers is Ansel Diggory made over. Like the second he walks up, I'm just like, oh, baby. Oh, chew
I
up my
love it.
bucket. Yeah, he's a sweet baby angel.
I love it. I love it.
We watched the Groot shorts.
Yay!
They're
They're
so
so
cute. The one in his little pajamas.
every single one is just fuck around and find out with Groot.
Yeah.
It's
I
so
am
funny.
Groot.
Oh my God, I loved it so
The
much.
first one we watched, he didn't speak at all, but he like grunted every now and then. But they credited Vin Diesel. And it was like, did they bring him in
I'm
just
sure
to
he
have
did
him
them
like,
all at once. I'm
I
sure they
know,
did them
but
all at
still,
once, but
like,
that's hilarious.
you've
Yeah.
got him just here going, meh. And that's it. Like,
I love it.
so funny.
I love it.
And then last but not least, I watched She-Hulk episode two.
Okay.
The
I
only note, uh-oh.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
The only note I wrote down is a quote. I'm an entirely different person now.
Yes, that's what I
Literally.
was gonna say.
I cackled.
And then Jen looks at the camera and is like, haha, like, because she
I
knows.
died. I died. We were
So
both over
funny.
here just cracking up.
So fucking funny. I
Yeah.
love this show.
Brilliant.
It's
Brilliant.
genius.
Yeah.
Genius. And I love that we get to see all of these things that are happening outside of the universe are getting brought in because
Yeah.
Jen breaks the fourth wall, and I love it. It makes me
Yes.
so happy.
And I love and hate at the same time that they are doing things like, we hired you, we want you to work here, but you have to be a certain way. Because you know they wouldn't do that with Bruce. But they think they can bully her because she's a woman.
Yeah.
She's
And
She-Hulk.
I hate that she's put into a position where she has to accept it
Yeah, it's
because,
not fair, but that happens to women. It happens to people, but
and
that
you
happens to
know,
women all the time.
and you know that like were her options different, that she would not put up with that shit.
Never. She would never put up with
Absolutely
that shit.
not.
She'd never want to work somewhere like that.
I want her to start her own law firm.
I think that's coming.
I hope so. Apparently, the law firm that she's working for now in the series is the law firm she works for in the comics, though. So who knows? But I would love to see her start her own
Yeah.
law firm.
Yeah.
I don't
Agreed.
remember anything else in this episode.
I don't really either.
I watched it so
Oh,
long
her
ago.
dad had her doing a bunch of chores, like carrying giant water bottles and holding up a car to change a tire.
That family dinner, I was just like,
Oh my God. It
her,
felt
who
right
was
at
that?
home.
Her cousin? Was that her cousin and
Yeah.
her aunt and uncle? They were
I just
terrible.
got, and he's like, I just
Ugh.
got promoted to manager of Best Buy. And everybody's like,
Wow.
oh, she's like, I'm a friggin' lawyer. What?
I'm a freaking superhero and a
Listen,
freaking
not that being a
lawyer.
manager at Best Buy is not a great thing. If you're a manager at Best Buy, we're not knocking you, but
No, but
he's
like,
also a lawyer and they're making a big deal out of one, but the
yeah.
other is like insanely cool too.
Yeah. I understand where she was coming from, where she had to like accept this position because it's like she went through law
Yeah.
school. That costs money. She
Yeah.
needs
Yeah.
money
She's
to
got
live.
bills. Yeah.
And I love her like whole relationship with Bruce. It's
I
so cute.
know. I
It's so
know.
cute. I love it so much.
Yeah.
They're
They're like
awesome.
siblings almost.
I know. And it makes me wonder where the hell she's been.
Right?
You know, like if they're clearly close. So
Well, I guess how often did you see Clint's kids? Not like you saw them, but not
yeah.
often. Like they take the like work at work
I guess that's
break.
true. I guess
Yeah.
that's true. But like the fact that there was never a mention of her.
Yeah.
Like, okay, granted, we didn't have like Clint's family until like Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, whatever. Like they were all surprised he had a family and all of that. But like after that, we knew.
And Bruce
There
has
were
been a
still.
side character for
Yeah.
a long time, and that first movie, I guess they if anything, they should have talked about her in The Incredible Hulk, but
That's true.
they didn't, you know, they didn't know.
Yeah. I
They didn't
mean,
know at that point.
they still could have dropped him. I mean, it's not like she wasn't a character that ex didn't exist. Like,
True.
they could have just thrown like any kind of throwaway line in it, but you know, it is what it is. I love that she's here now, and I love their relationship, and I can't wait to see more. I'm excited to see I haven't watched this week's episode because I was frantically working on editing the podcast.
Neither.
I had a huge thing that I had to do for work. And so, and it was, and I needed to do it today. I couldn't put it off. So I was working on that. And then on like my breaks, I was like frantically editing the podcast because I was dumb and took Monday off. So I was like, oh, guess I'm not watching She-Hulk yet. But yeah,
you did it, though.
I did. I did finish it. So yay. Still got a perfect record.
27 episodes in.
Yay.
27?
Today's, this one's 27.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see more She-Hulk. I'm excited. Yeah, and I saw too. Something on the internet that I'm mad that I saw. And I'm hoping that it's in episode 3 so that...
Don't tell me. If it's a spoiler, don't tell me.
It's not... I'm just not going to say anything.
Okay.
But I'm mad about it. Uh-oh. Not mad about it. I'm mad about seeing it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah. Did you do anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Fictional boyfriend kind of the week.
We just talked, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I did anything else.
Okay. Fictional boyfriend of the week. Go.
Hart Ralston, Tanrion Marshall. I forgot to mention. Well, I guess I didn't forget because this is the part where you talk about the person.
Yes.
I'm not a blonde. I'm other than Aaron, I'm not
and
typically
Jax.
Drawn to blondes and Jax. I go for Jax with the blue hair. Okay. That's when it really got me going. But yes, and Jax is a blonde, even though I pictured him as like I told you last week, a dark-haired anime character.
Yeah.
But Hart Ralston is a blonde, so I was picturing kind of like Jensen Ackles vibes, kind of like a dirty blonde.
Okay.
6 foot like nine.
Stop.
6 foot nine. Oof. Yeah.
I just got chills.
And like,
chills.
I don't want to say like he's not exactly human, and it's okay. It's a known thing in these books. So yeah, you can tell there's like a little more to him than just a human. And just he's the grumpy side of the grumpy sunshine, but a freaking cinnamon roll on the inside, but nobody knows it. Like nobody knows it except
for his
dog. A grumpy
cinnamon roll.
I know. It's
I die.
It's chef's kiss.
I love.
He's a sweet baby angel once you listen to him. And I forgot to mention this. A lot of people have compared it to Howl's Moving Castle, which I get. Yeah. There is so much You've Got Mail
vibes
in this book that actual scenes where I was like, I can tell you what they're going to say. It wasn't like a ripoff. I don't want you to think that. But like they were in the exact position that people would like that they were in You've Got Mail.
Oh my God.
And it was
I love it.
Oh, they're going to say this. And oh, I know what's coming here. And of course it veers completely away. It's not a retelling. NY152 today. Same day. I wonder. There's no bouquets of sharpened pencils. But yeah, huge You've Got Mail vibes, which you know I loved.
Yes.
I was here for it.
That's awesome.
So who is your fictional boyfriend?
I touched upon it during the last segment, but it is Derek Knights from specifically from the third book, Long Way Home. But he's in all of them because he's a member of the band, but he's like the quiet, like reserved one of the band.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like the one who just kind of gets along with everybody and just makes sure that everybody stays calm and is like the chill one of the group.
But now bass?
He does play bass.
Can you tell I married a band member? Married a musician. I know what the bass player is always like.
Yeah. And so there's this part in the arc that I'm reading, the third book, where he's like being the bass player, like people don't usually recognize me, which is like great. Because he'd rather not be in the spotlight, like the drummer or the lead singer. Yeah. And it's like, he's so sweet. And he's got like this secret passion that he hasn't told anybody about. And it's just so, it's like so good how he talks about it. Like he gets so happy when he's talking about it. And you're gonna love this. He decides that he doesn't want to come home to an empty house anymore. So he goes with Ella to a shelter to rescue a dog. It gets better. It gets better because he's like your face. So he's like going through the shelter and he and Ella is like, oh, well, this little puppy's like, he's brand new. He'll be so cute. And he was like, no, I want to get a dog. I want to give somebody a second chance at life. And he gets the sweet little baby.
Dog.
Yes. He gets the sweet little senior girl and she's been through it. Like she got brought into the shelter with like a younger pup, and that pup got adopted in the week within a week, and she's been there for like ever, and he was just like, she's the one. And
it
was
Angel.
Just like, and he rides a motorcycle, and because this is the way that he primarily gets around, he gets a little backpack and like a strap to carry her around while he's riding in it. Oh, it's
okay,
so
but
good.
But if you are my nieces and you are listening to this podcast, we never get on a motorcycle ever. They know that's one of my life rules. We don't ride motorcycles. It's like Lorelai Gilmore in Hero. She's not riding your motorcycle. I don't even have a motorcycle. She's not getting on your motorcycle.
You hear that, girls?
You hear that, girls? Do not get on motorcycles. Well, he sounds like a dreamboat.
He is a dreamboat, and he is so sweet. And I expect him to get a happily ever after at the end of this book.
You better.
Because if not, I am going to be very angry.
And the dog better not die.
If anything happens to this dog, I will riot. Sweet Izzy.
That's what I said about
happens to Izzy.
That's what I said about the Undertaking of Heart and Mercy, because there are a few dogs that are introduced, and he talks about a dog that he lost. And so you expect to feel like he rehashes it and redeals with it, and it's fine. But it was like, if any one of these dogs that already are that we're here and is alive dies, and I will spoil this for everyone 100% of the time, other than the dog that he talks about losing already, that you go into it knowing she's gone, no dogs die. Because I was like, I'm going to have to stop reading. Every dog is fine. Mm-hmm. Love letter to dog lovers.
Yeah. It was funny because I had posted on my Instagram that I had finished the first two books and I was going to start the third one. And the author, Melissa Grace, commented, she's like, I can't wait for you to read the third one. And I was like, I was expecting it to be Dallas and Katie. When do I get Dallas and Katie? And she was like, last page of the book. And I was like, does that mean something happens, or that it tells us that there's going to be another book? I need more.
And you're like, I can't skip ahead.
I was like, I can't go. So expect me to have reactions. Next week. And then I just want to, like, as a little side note, Luca, who is also in the band, he's like the problem child, like a drinking problem, total douchebag. And I'm so broken that I want to fix him.
Yeah.
Like, he could be so good, but he's, So I'm expecting a whole redemption arc book later. Melissa, if you're listening, I'm giving you all of the things
we
want.
We need all of the things. Here's a list of things we need.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, the first two books are on Kindle Unlimited. So if anybody has that, you can just go to Kindle Unlimited and read them for free.
Very nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I recommend them. They're very cute. They're very sweet. They're very quick reads. So
yeah. Okay. Very cool.
Where did your money go this week or these past 4 days?
I actually got a lot of stuff in these last 4 days. Today, I know, a bunch came today. I think everything I'm going to show you or talk about came today, actually, except for one thing.
Okay.
My flat treadmill came today.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had to order another one. Did I tell you that?
Oh, no.
Okay. So I had the Amazon drama with, I ordered one and they said it was delivered to Virginia and they were like, just wait until the 9th. Amazon was like, wait until the 9th, even though Amazon and USPS agreed that it was in Virginia.
Yeah.
He's like, it'll show up. Okay. So 2 days ago, Tuesday, I guess, I messaged Amazon again and I was like, listen, I've talked to somebody the other day. I'm not comfortable with the answer that I got because this is a lot of money that's just in limbo that I'm supposed to trust is just going to magically show up. And they were like, you know what? Yeah, I don't like that either. So they were like, let us call you. So the guy called me and he was like, let me put you on hold and I'm going to call the postal service and see if they have any in sight. He comes back a few minutes later and he's like, they don't know where it is either. It's weird because it was given to them and delivered within 30 minutes, which seems weird. He said, and it came from overseas. He said, I looked at that seller's rating, which I don't look at seller's ratings when I buy something on Amazon. I look at people's reviews of the product. This person had 100% negative, or this company had 100% negative reviews.
Oh my God.
So he was like, I am going to refund you right now from Amazon. He was like, then Amazon can duke it out with them. I'm going to make sure they're removed, but Amazon will get their money back from them. So they refunded me, and I, that same night, they gave me a gift card. They gave me the option for a gift card or a refund, but I knew I wanted to rebuy from Fulfilled by Amazon. So that night I ordered it, and it was supposed to be here tomorrow, but it showed up today.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The box was 100 pounds, and it started to, UPS had such a hard time getting it out of their truck that they just left it on our stairs coming up our porch. And then it started raining. So I was like frantically IMing my boss because I tried to go get it, but I was like, I'll wait till Josh gets home. Well, it starts raining. So I am my boss. I'm like, I'm going to be gone for a few minutes because it's raining and this box and it's electrical stuff.
Yeah.
So I got it inside. He gets home. We get it upstairs. I walked for like 10 minutes today because we were going to dinner, but it works. I stand my desk up and I can walk and type. Using the mouse is a little wonky. I'm going to have to get used to that.
Yeah.
Because like you're shaky. But I'm hoping that this will prompt me to get more active. I don't want to leave a theme park limping anymore. Because I don't walk hardly anymore. So that came in. Let me show you these. They're not really, they're nerdy. They're not like fandomy, but I got some Scrub Daddies. I got a Frankenstein, a pumpkin. And this is the reason I bought the thing. A ghost. My husband's a ghost hunter, so I have a ghost Scrub Daddy for my sink. I was so excited.
You're so funny. You're so funny.
So you and I, okay, have you gotten your novelty chest?
August?
Yes.
No.
Okay, I'm not going to show you that then.
I know what the book is, but I don't
know. I'm not going to show, because the edges and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you order the, what's it called? The Once Upon a Book Club Echo from the Past box?
Yes.
Did you get it?
I don't think I've even gotten shipping.
Okay, I'm not going to show you that either.
I know it's supposed to come in like a regular cardboard box. Yeah, because
it came
of the
in a
fragile,
big box.
Yeah, fragile items or whatnot is what they said.
Yeah, so, it did. I was like,
I don't think I've even gotten shipping for that, which I was really excited. Like, I really want to read that book. I looked it up and I was like, I really, really want
to
read this book.
I have to read this. I'm not going to show it to you then. So you and I have a friend, the geeky godmother, Terry Lee. She and I have an understanding that she gets like a lot of the bookish sub boxes for like the goodies.
Yeah.
But she doesn't keep a lot of the books and a lot of the goodies either. She just picks out what she wants. And so she and I have an arrangement where she messages me before she posts them anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I get to like nitpick out what I want. So we had a little discussion on over the weekend. I got a copy of The Witch Haven with pink edges.
It looks very pretty. It sounds really good.
It's signed. It looks like it's a bookish box edition. So that's the book I got from her, but then I got a lot of goodies.
Okay.
So I got a winged inner circle candle carousel. So I've got the people from ACOTAR. So I have a Throne of Glass one of these. So I got the Caraval fake book box. So I'm going to stack them up with their spine showing and store stuff in them.
I love that.
An ACOTAR teacup set.
Very cute.
So it's got Reese and Farah on both sides of it. Oh gosh. this Late Night Reads tumbler. It's like, it looks black in photos, but it's like a dark green.
Ooh.
And it says Late Night Reads with like
love a dark green
moon. This is a Kingdom of the Feared spoon. It's like a teaspoon. It's got like a little snake on it and a little
design.
Gem at the end, little crystal at the end.
Very
I almost
pretty.
Put it in my cup of hot chocolate. I don't want to do that. I got a Velaris candle and a Cancer candle.
What does Velaris smell like?
Velaris? It doesn't have scents written on it, but it's kind of...
Sweet? Floral?
Woody? It reminds me of Scentsy's Snowberry. So it's like cranberry-ish.
Okay.
Very light. Maybe a little bit of tea. I'm not good at that. I don't really know, but
it's lovely.
It's a good smell. Then Cancer also doesn't have the smells, but I have a Gemini. It was my last... I think it was my last bookish box that I had before I canceled. And I was born on the day that, like, I was born on the cusp. Mm-hmm. So half of my horoscope horoscope, say I'm a Gemini, the other half say I'm a Cancer. I have traits of both. If you ask me which one, I identify more with Gemini and I see it more, but I also have a lot of Cancer tendencies. Mm-hmm. This one kind of cinnamony, but still kind of light. And then last is a little mug rug that says manifest bookish book vibes.
Oh, that's so cute.
So it was a big box.
Okay. So you know, if there's anything that she sends you that you know what I want.
Yeah.
Just send her my way. Send her my way.
I will. yeah, she this time she was like, I'm just gonna put it in a box and I'll tell you what shipping is and then you send me what you think is fair. I trust you. She said it's all going to pageant stuff. Her she and her daughter do pageants and so I sent her some and she was like, that's a little too much, but it's fine.
Consider the rest donation.
I know. Yeah. I was like, I don't care. And I think that's it. That's all I did. That's all I got this week.
Awesome. That's a lot of good stuff.
To paint one of the twins' rooms, but that's it.
Yeah. That's a lot of good stuff though.
It was. It was a very good box to get.
Yay.
Yay.
All right. So I don't have a lot. This is from the Mickey Mouse Main Attraction series. Oh, it reflects. so it's the collectible key from the Prince Charming Carousel collection. Uh-huh. I think that was July. I got all of the other stuff already, but the key sold. There was some sort of like glitch and the key sold out. And so I was really upset, but it came back in stock and I got it, which is good because I have all the other ones. So I'd be really upset if I didn't.
Yeah.
And because I refused to pay shipping, I also had to add other stuff to my cart, which is why I have these headphones and that pin. But I also got a really cute earring set.
Oh!
So it's got Marvel earrings. So we've got Black Panther, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Captain America, Thor, Hawkeye, and Black Widow. These are connected. You can see. Aww. I hate that they always connect Black Widow and Hawkeye, but it's also...
It's cute earrings, though.
They're very cute earrings. So those are fun. And I feel like this was last week, but I forgot, so I'm going to show it to you this week. I got my Groot Funko Pop comic cover. He looks so angry.
He really does. He's fierce. I'm scared of him.
He's very angry. So yeah, that was... If I have anything else, I don't have it here, and I don't remember.
Just show it next week.
And it's been 4 days, so how much stuff could I have possibly acquired?
Right. Apparently, a metric ton.
But that was like one box.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like you got multiple boxes. It was a
very, very well-packed box.
Yeah. All right. What are you anticipating? I was like, what's our next segment?
Well, someone is a terrible enabler. So I have tickets to the virtual Stephanie Garber, Shelby Marin chat. about Ballad of Never After on the 26th. On the 28th, I have tickets to the Carrie Maniscalco, Holly Black chat about Kingdom of the Feared. Kingdom of the Feared comes out the 27th. Ballad of Never After comes out the 13th. And then the Atlas Paradox in October. I just can't wait.
I'm very excited.
And that's it. That's all the things for me.
Mine is pretty much the same as it was last week. I have tickets to the Barnes & Noble virtual launch event for Chloe Gong, Foul Lady Fortune on the 27th, and she's in conversation with Elizabeth Lim, who I just got her, I got Six Crimson Cranes because it was on sale for Kindle, so I will read that before the event, so I will have read something of hers, and then I have tickets to the in-person book signing for Foul Lady Fortune, which is on October 4th, which I'm really excited about. Last week, I had said that I had emailed the event organizers to ask if she was going to be signing other things.
They're going to hate you.
I got a response and they were like, she's totally going to be signing other things. And I'm like, you have no idea what you just signed her up for.
She's going to sign my arm and I'm going to get it tattooed.
You have no idea. So I know, when you text
me that. You text me that, I was like, oh God, the people behind you are going to hate you. Just make some bookmarks before then and hand them out. They'll be
I absolutely will. But I will be bringing my copy of These Violent Delights, my Barnes & Noble exclusive edition of Our Violent Ends, my Arc of Foul Lady Fortune, and there's two anthologies that she is a part of that release in September, and this event is on October 4th, so I will also be bringing those. Yeah. So I will have 5 books total. Well, 5 books plus the Foul Lady Fortune that they will have.
Look, this is just going to make you memorable to her. She's going to be like, Karen is the one who had me sign all the things.
Listen, I was telling you, I was like, if this doesn't make Chloe, like, see me, notice me.
Yeah.
Like, what will? What will? Come on, Chloe.
Oh my God, I'm going to barf that day just of nerves for you.
I'm going to freak out. I'm just like, I can't even. I feel like I need to take the day off. Like, I don't need to.
I think you should.
Because I'm teleworking, so I'm just like, on my lunch break, I'll just drive up to San Francisco and then just hang out there working until the end of the day. But yeah. I feel like maybe I should just take the day off. I'm going to be too nervous.
Let yourself enjoy that day. You don't have to work every day.
I know. And I have so much time. I might do that. Yeah. But yeah, and I'm, this is, you're going to think I'm insane.
Oh, honey, I've met you. I already know.
There's a box set of the duology, which is just like regular editions of the book, but it comes in a slipcase. So I might have to get that as well.
Oh my God, Karen.
There's one on Pango for like $18 for both for the duology. So like, you know, it's okay.
That's not bad.
It's $18 for 2 hardcovers.
Yeah, no. Okay, that's not bad. That's reasonable.
Yeah, so it's not like I'm paying full price for them.
Yeah, fair.
I'm just...
Okay, fair.
And then I feel like there was something else and I have completely forgotten it.
Well, listen, you've thought about Chloe Gong. That kind of makes all other thoughts.
Everything else just kind of disappears in my head. yeah, we'll just go with that. If I burst out with something later, I can just cut it and edit it back in.
Yeah.
In the right spot. Is it Fangirl Freestyle? Is that what's next?
It is.
Okay.
I'm
glad I didn't have to pick one.
Well, I have seen several videos about this today, and I'm going to probably pronounce it wrong because I think there are 2 pronunciations, and some people on TikTok say it one way, some people say it on the other. Have you heard about any Babel controversy?
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't heard about the controversy.
So some people call it Babel.
Yeah.
But see, I listen to Mumford & Sons, and he's got a song called, it's spelled exactly the same way, and it's Babel, Babel. Anyways, I don't know. For me, Babel is B-A-B-B-L-E. But again, I don't know. I'm just going with what Marcus Mumford says.
So I haven't heard it or I haven't seen anything about it.
So it is a book. I've added it to my Amazon wish list, which is where I keep track of like what I want to read that I don't have.
I for some reason, I didn't realize that it like just came. I thought it had been released a while.
No,
back,
it just came out.
It's just came out. Yeah.
And it is about Oxford, and it seems like it's kind of a fictional tell all about the racism and colonialism that takes place in maybe not. I don't know. I have not. Please don't take my word as Bible. I do not know. I've never read it yet. I haven't read it yet. I plan to. But racism and colonialism, maybe not just at Oxford, but in higher, I don't even know how to explain it. Not Ivy League, because Oxford
higher
is not
education.
It's not here. Higher rich people education. Rich white people education.
Okay.
Very expensive schools around the world. It could just be that it's about Oxford. I don't know. But there was a book talker who basically got on a TikTok and said, I don't plan to read this because I don't want to read about racism and colonialism. And so people are like, okay, Chad, you're a cis white dude. Maybe don't say that out loud. Maybe don't post that on the internet.
He said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah, with his whole voice. And so people are like, hey, did you know that that sounds kind of douchey? And he's like, oh, well, I just meant that I don't want to read about racism and colonialism in fiction. So you're doubling down. And he's like, I would read it in nonfiction or history, but not in fiction. And it's like, okay, but you're saying that from a place of privilege because you don't want to experience other people's traumas and things that they've had to go through and things that are a very real occurrence, even if it's written in a work of fiction. It's not like no one would know that that actually does happen in higher expensive colleges and universities.
Just
and so
just explain my face right now. I'm just
It's just done with the world. Just done.
I was just talking to Beth the other day. I think it was actually yesterday. I'm in a group chat, and not with Beth, a separate group chat. And somebody had asked if we knew if Hocus Pocus 2 was going to be like a pay per, like a fee, like Premiere Plus way back when Mulan came out. And somebody said, they're like, I don't think so. They haven't done like extra in a while. I was like, it's a Disney Plus original. I can't see them charging for it. And then I typed up something that I wanted to respond and I didn't, but I typed up, plus it's 3 white leads, so why would they charge extra for it? And I didn't send it only because I'm not very close with all of the people in the group. And they're all, well, not all, but a majority of them are white women. And so I just didn't know what their reaction would be. I figured that they probably would be like, they would understand, but also I just didn't want to risk
it. You don't want to.
But it's like, I don't even know why I brought this up. What were we talking about?
It's because it's this het white dude who refuses to read this book because it's...
Yeah, you were describing my face and saying how I was done.
Yeah, you're over it.
That's why I brought it up, because I was like talking to Beth and she was like, you should send it. And I was like, I'm so tired. Like, I am so tired.
Well, and it's not your responsibility to teach people. It's their responsibility to seek out
And it's
knowledge.
And like, I am so tired. Like, if I have to defend myself, I don't have the energy to do it. I could do it, but I don't have the energy.
You shouldn't have to.
I am so done. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I'm not even like an activist. Like, I can't even imagine what actual activists are dealing with right now and how tired they might be. I just exist as a person of color and I'm tired. So it's
and
like,
see, I'm sure imagine being this author. I think their name is
R.F. Kuang.
I was thinking R.J. Kuang, but I didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
Imagine being on the world stage and having to hear utter bullshit like that. Like, really? You can't. And a lot of the people who are responding to this TikTok are like, you're allowed to not want to read a certain type of book. You're allowed to not be into books about academia. Mm-hmm. And I've read in a lot of comments that it's not an easy read, that it's a very deep and in-depth it's very easy to get lost in it because it's so much. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to not want to read it because of those things.
Right.
You know?
I could see
academia is allowed to not be your thing. Darkness is allowed to not be your thing. Heavy reads are allowed to not be your thing. But to pinpoint that it's the racism and colonialism that you don't want to hear about.
I could, like, the only way that I can spin it, quote unquote, to be okay with quotes, would be like, I read fiction to escape real life.
That's
and
fair.
That is very close. I mean, not very close, but that is shit that happens in real life. But to say it like that.
Yeah, but are you going to get on TikTok and say, this book, I'm not going to read it because of it? No, you're just going to not read it. You're not going to announce it to the world.
Or I would be like, I really want to read this book, but I just can't right now. Like,
I'm not in the headspace.
I need to escape. I don't need, like, I need fantasy. I need something that is completely, like, there's nothing that is completely separate from the real world. Let's be clear.
Right.
Because you're pulling from experiences in the real world. You're pulling from your experience. You're pulling from history. Like, regardless of what you're writing, fantasy, sci-fi, anything like that.
Even if there's a rabbit carrying the mail, there's like, still a mailman.
There's still,
you know, like,
that's aspects of real life. Yeah, there's still aspects of real life, even in fictional stories, even if they're fantasy stories. But, like, I can't be in the headspace to tackle something like racism and colonialism.
Right.
You know, so
that's
like,
that's allowed.
That's a different, like, I would not be like, I'm not reading this because of this. Like, no, you're saying that because you are a privileged white person.
Right.
And not because you're not in the headspace to read it. Like, you are just saying the quiet part out loud.
Like, I'm sure I will. Like I said, I put it on my wish list. Mm-hmm. I'll get it. I buy random books from my list. My husband does.
Yeah.
My family started asking about Christmas purchases already. We're a crazy bunch that buys early. That probably will be when I get it. I might not read it in that exact moment. Because, like you said, I read a lot of fantasy to get out of this hellscape that we live in. Yeah, every now and then I'm like, I need a cartoon cover romance. I need a break from fantasy. But for the most part, you're right. I don't want to, you know, feel like I'm reading 2022.
Right. I would, like, I'm living living this experience. Yeah. I don't want to, like, that's, I don't want to read about it as my escape.
Right.
I want to escape. But
I do want to read this book eventually when I know I'm in the headspace to do it. When I need to get fired up.
Right. That's a completely, like, different way to approach it.
I'll read it right before midterm elections when I need to get fired up and good and pissed off.
Right. Like, it's not, like, there's a difference between saying, I'm never going to read this because I don't want to read about colonialism and racism versus I don't want to read this right now because I cannot handle colonialism and racism in my head right now.
It's the, I hadn't put it to words in my head, but I have White Fragility and How to Be an Anti-Racist on my shelf. Mm-hmm. And I know that it would be important for me to read those in the world that we live in now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like you said, I will get to them. I know I will. And I read the YA, yeah, White Fragility with NetGalley, but I have to get out of here. Mm-hmm. At the same time. It's not that I don't want to read them. I absolutely do.
It's just
right now I'm drowning in NetGalley.
Well, yes, that too. But it's also
strict timeline.
It's also like we are like the past 2 years, we are so worn, 2-3 years, mm-hmm, we are so worn, we're tired down. We're so tired,
and, like, and I don't want that to come across as disrespectful or privileged, even though it is as a white girl sitting here saying, you know, I don't want to read them because I'm tired, because I know I'm not a person of color. I'm not anywhere near as tired as y'all are.
Right.
I'm not.
But, I mean, even you know, like it's rough out there. Yeah. It's just rough being,
we're trying to keep our heads above water,
especially being especially being women living in America. Like, there are, unfortunately, there are levels of, like, oppression and how bad things are and how tired we all are right now. And the cishet white men, they're okay. They're flying high. Except for the allies. They are right here in the thick of it with us. But they also recognize that it's not their conversation to overtake.
Right.
But then, you know, like, being a woman is exhausting in and of itself. Being a person of color, being a black person, which is a whole separate thing from being, not that it's a separate thing, but it's a different level.
It's a different, you know, level of,
like, they
awful
experience history. It way worse, and there's a lot more history there than the rest of us people of color. And then you've got indigenous people, and then you go into, like, women of color, you go into indigenous women of color. Like, there's so many levels, and we just, sometimes we really just need to read about freaking rabbit mail carriers.
Winged fae.
Just take me away. Just
or a prince of the fae with a tail. Like,
listen, honestly, at this point, I'll take Tamlin. Just take me away. Like, at this point, I'm just done. I'm done with this world.
See, I didn't mean for it to go, like, as deep as it did. It should. Those conversations should always be had.
There's so many layers. Like, we just barely touched the surface. Like, we went deep and we still just barely scratched the surface.
I'll go find the TikToks and send them to you because it's kind of like, he kept doubling down.
Well, and that's what it is nowadays. It's like the assholes and the douchebags and the racists and the misogynists and all of them, all the bigots, like, they're very proudly with their full chest saying the quiet part out loud.
Is it Kate Stewart who's also under fire because she's a white woman using racial slurs? Mm-hmm. Like, no, ma'am.
Oh, and she doubled down being like, my best friend is Mexican, so I can say this. Like, no.
I was thinking, like, even if you were to write, like, a historical fiction where that word or slurs would have absolutely been used, you still don't write that word. You still don't write any of the words.
Just don't.
Just think of a more intelligent way to say what you need. If you need a racial slur to get your point across as a white person, you should shut up.
All right.
Are we ready for a spiel? That was heavy.
Yeah. Let's do something lighter.
Like, spiel a little.
We can sing. This is the spiel. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on Instagram and TikTok. at Incoherent Girls on Twitter because Twitter has a character limit and we're still mad at them about it.
Boo. Hate you.
We hate them. Hate them. Please follow us, especially on TikTok, because they don't let us add a link to our bio until we get, like, I don't know, like 1,000 followers or something. And I would like to add a link to our bio.
Rude.
It's very rude. So now I'm mad at TikTok too. Please like our Facebook page and also visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, where you can also stream all of our episodes and read our blog, which has many,
There's
many blog
so
posts.
So much.
We're doing the thing, guys.
Killing
We're doing
it.
The thing. And what else? You can also stream all of our episodes on YouTube. They are audio only because we will be using YouTube eventually for Patreon, which will include bonus material and full video episodes. Everywhere already has full episodes. Full video episodes. And if you have suggestions for Patreon, the podcast, or just want to tell us we're pretty, send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you.
Leave us some reviews. We like those.
Yes. Leave us a review wherever you are listening. Leave us a review. That would be really fun. And if you want to send us an email letting us know you left a review, because I only check Apple Podcasts, but there's many other places people listen to us. So
we don't know where to look.
Yeah. Let us know.
Tell us.
And I think I said it last episode, and I would like to say it again. If you are somebody that we have talked about on the podcast, an author or something like that, and you'd like to join us on the podcast,
we
would love
to
have
you.
We would love to have you. So send us an email. Mm-hmm. And she's at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
Yay. We're awesome. Thanks.
We are. We're pretty fun.
You know who else is awesome? Our internet besties.
Yes, they are.
They're the best. Go visit herecomesthenerd.com. You can use code fangirl at checkout to get 20% off your first order.
Or you can visit onceuponabookclub.com and use code Mandy10 for 10% off.
And then you can head on over to noveltychest.com. That is novel like a book, tea like the drink, chess.com. Use code fangirl5 and you'll get 5% off your monthly subscription.
And of course, you can never have enough tea. So we're going to also head over to grimoiretea.com. Use code fangirltea. So that's FANGRLTEA. Drop the I. 10% off your order.
Yay. We love our internet
besties.
We love
besties. Our besties.
They're awesome. You should go visit them. Tell them we sent you. Mm-hmm. Because we love that. We love sending people over to them.
Yes, we do.
It makes us happy. All right. Well, that was the Incoherent Fangirl.
That was it.
Thanks
we
for
love
listening.
You.
Yeah,
and, thanks.
Hey, Josh, we crushed it.
We killed it, Purvis. You were wrong.
Suck it. All right. Thanks for listening.
We love you.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.